Chance to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National alert.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Is it a hot summer day where you are? Well, let me tell you, you may think that you could never become a victim of human spontaneous combustion, but apparently it's possible, and I'm not talking about sunburn here. This is from information released by the Food and Drug Administration. They say plenty of people burst into flames because they're wearing sunscreen. They have said that last year there were quite a few incidents in which people were spontaneously combusting because of sunscreen. One person was hurt after lighting a cigarette. Another was standing near a citronella candle. A guy in Massachusetts was just standing next to his backyard grill when flames leapt to him. A woman in Norfolk, Virginia was waiting for her product to dry when she turned on a welding torch. Well, that was the end of that. They say that many spray sunscreens in particular include alcohol or other flammable ingredients, so be mindful of that. That is one way it can happen to you without anything necessarily so paranormal being involved. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You know, you're down there in Puerto Rico, sunny, warm Puerto Rico. We're up here, soggy, western North Carolina. I mean, I've not seen this much rain in years up here.
And yet, that greatly diminishes the chances of you bursting into flames. So that's the good news.
Probably not. I mean, because everyone up here is just so frustrated, and they just want... I mean, everyone's just so pent up. I think everyone's going to explode just from not having anything to do up here outside, because every time you turn around here for the past week or so, you turn around, there's a flood warning, flood watch, severe thunderstorm warning. I mean, it's just crazy. The ground up here is just saturated.
You know, to me, that is, it's so depressing when it rains like that, and I can definitely sympathize. I feel so sorry for you guys, and I know Shelley Wright, you are, Shelley Wright, you were talking recently about the bridges near your house being threatened.
Right, and I think that we actually broke a record this week. We had 7 inches of rain in one day here. That's a
really?
Lot of rain.
That's just one day.
That's just one day.
Well, you know, Forrest, I got to experience my first brush with a tropical storm here in Puerto Rico earlier this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I had the same experience a couple months ago down in Myrtle Beach, the little tropical storm that came through. That's the first time I'd experienced a tropical storm.
Now, I have been on the ocean before when storms have been around, but never way out in the middle of the ocean like this, you know.
Right.
And so I wasn't sure what to expect. Fortunately, historically speaking, Puerto Rico has been quite lucky when it comes to avoiding major problems from storms. So this tropical storm, if you looked at the cone of its path, was supposed to just brush the west coast, pretty much exactly where I am here. And so I went out with Lauren, and we got stocked up on, you know, canned food and water and all that kind of stuff. And the thing was supposed to hit last Tuesday night. So we went out walking around what they call the Poblado, which is like the little fishing and beach village here.
Right.
And everything was closed. It was like a ghost town. Because I didn't realize that there is a law here in Puerto Rico and in various other sort of Latin countries and lands called Ley Seca. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
No.
It's a dry law that goes into effect whenever they're going to have an election, or if there is a storm that's supposed to hit. For at least 24 hours, nobody can sell alcohol or be seen drinking alcohol in public. And everybody hates it around here because it's a big, big drinking town. And you know, you can kind of understand that, but it's funny to think, like, you can't get drunk and go to the polls. You know, it's so important, like, it's going to make that much of an impact. So everything was shut down, and it was absolutely still here. I mean, there was just not so much as a single twig moving, not a leaf rustling. Everything was just eerily calm and quiet. And so everybody's kind of sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen. So probably about, I'm thinking 10 o'clock at night, I went out into the courtyard of this little complex that I live in. And it's like a big rectangular courtyard. It's got, you know, a swimming pool and a bunch of palm trees and you know, various brush and foliage and stuff. And so I was sitting there on a bench, and the sky looked just incredibly clear. Everything was dead calm. And then, just like somebody hit a switch, boom, blast, a huge blast of warm air just came tearing through. All the trees went all at once. And it's funny because when I was looking at the forecast earlier, this is the first time I've ever been in a place that I can recall where, like, the Weather Channel forecast said, you know, it's like 8 p.m. rain, you know, 9 p.m. thunderstorms, 10 p.m. squalls. And I was like, oh, what does that mean if a squall hits, you know? Which, of course, a squall is supposed to be like a sudden violent burst, a gust of wind. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, they were just with no warning, just we went from dead calm to boom, almost knock you over. And I literally stood up there, and I'm like looking into the darkness as this powerful wind's blowing over me, and I was waiting for the rain to just come crashing down. And the funny thing is, I guess that squall, it was there for about a couple minutes, and then it stopped. It was dead again. And then, boom, here came another squall. And that happened over about maybe 30 minutes, and then it was gone. It was over. There was never any rain or anything. So I guess the storm didn't actually dump, you know, any moisture where I was, but just the power of that pressure system created those big winds on the outskirts. So I think I was literally like right there on the outer band of those arms as it was moving through. But it was pretty cool, and I must tell you, you know, it felt good. So it was really kind of a non-event, but it was very good practice to get stocked up and rehearse for those bigger storms that could come rolling through at any time.
You know, you need to hook up a sunshine sample generator for your whole apartment complex down there.
Well, you know, I'm working on that. I'm having a bunch of my sunshine sample stuff shipped down here because this is the perfect environment for it, since that you've got sun all, you know, every day. And, of course, you don't have to have that to use this sunshine sample, but down here it's very easy to find nice open sunny spots. But you're right, you know, a lot of people are getting their generators right now because everybody's predicting this is going to be a bad storm season. In fact, this tropical system that moved through is supposedly one of the earliest tropical storms of its kind to move through historically. So we're getting off to an early start. And I have to be particularly aware of this stuff because, you know, Forrest, I'm a captain now.
Are you?
Yeah. I purchased a raft today. I own a raft.
I remember one time you purchased a raft also up here in Asheville, Joshua.
Well, you see, well, that's true. I remember when you and Lauren and I tried to take it down the French Broad, and it was more like an anchor than a raft. Actually, it didn't go anywhere, really. It just sat in the middle of the French Broad. But this one, this is what I call this a VIP raft. You know why?
Why is that?
Because it's a one-man raft. And so I get to be the captain, and the good news is, when it sinks, I get to be the first one off. So you see all the advantages here, Forrest?
I do indeed.
But I'm serious. It's a one-man raft. It's actually pretty nice.
Sounds like it. When it sinks.
It's brand new. It's just, they say it's a two-person raft, but nah, come on. Yeah. They say it holds like 210 pounds, and I'm 200, so I'm, you know, if you have maybe a baby, I can take a baby with me. It's got the oars, it's got the pump. I got the whole thing, okay? The raft, the oars, the pump, the whole shebang, brand new, for $20.
Oh, my.
But Lauren won't let me buy a freaking captain hat. And I'm like, are you serious, you know? Because I went into a gift shop, and they had captain hats there for like $7. And she was just giving me so much grief. Over this, well, you know, so I was just like, fine. I won't wear a stupid captain.
Here's what you do. It's a one-person raft. Hide the captain's hat when you go out. When Lauren's out of sight, put your little captain's hat on, and you'll know that you're the captain, and everyone that you pass will know that you're the captain. Then when you start to come back in, just take the hat off, hide it, and it'll be all good. Don't tell her that you've got the hat, but if you're a captain, you need a captain's hat.
I like the way you think, Forrest, and I agree, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I'll make sure that she doesn't listen to this edition of the show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my goodness, I'm going to kick off tonight with a story about, a guy who apparently has figured out how to become invisible. And also, second hour of the show tonight, I had a wild experience recently at the UFO Lagoon. I'm going to tell you about that. And I'm going to give you an update about, well, a cryptozoological specimen. We were talking on the last show about the beast there, Bladensboro, seen in North Carolina. Now, there may be another beast, and this time it's been captured on camera. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
And one.
Yeah.
Rico's extraterrestrial highway. I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Some people believe they can disappear. Like, for example, a gentleman, oh, get ready, Forrest, we're starting early tonight, from Fort Pierce, Florida. That's right, a man in Fort Pierce said he used his powers of invisibility recently. Now, ask yourself, what would you use such a power for? Well, this strange man walked into a Walgreens at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he went up to the cashier and told her that he needed to apologize. He said that he recently had been into Walgreens, and he wanted to get a carton of cigarettes, but they cost $60, and he only had $8 on his debit card. Fortunately, however, he was invisible that day because he had been using some drugs that made him invisible, and so he had simply taken the carton of cigarettes, and now he wanted to make good, and so he gave her his phone number and his debit card and then walked off into the aisles. She called 911 at this point. The police came there and said, "What are you talking about?" And the guy said, "Yes, I stole some cigarettes from here. They didn't know about it because I, quote, used my powers of invisibility to pass through the counter and take a carton of Cool brand menthol cigarettes," end quote. But he wanted to pay for it. Police said they could not get surveillance of the thief at the time on video. So they couldn't prove whether or not this had happened. But the whole situation's weird enough. I guess the cops were determined to charge him with something, and so the man was issued a trespass warning and escorted off the property. Isn't that a weird story, Forrest?
Yeah, I mean
it just, I don't know what to say about that. It's like it doesn't make sense on so many levels, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's weird.
An invisible man. I wonder if you've ever had an invisible man in Wright's Coin Shop, Shelley.
I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need to sprinkle some baby powder on the floor in there.
Yeah, and look at the digital footprints.
Yeah, see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, Shelley, is the weather there, all the rain, is that keeping people out of Wright's Coin Shop?
You know, it kind of is. I think most people are kind of having to bail out their basements right now. But we had a wonderful couple of wonderful days this week, and so it got very busy. While it was nice and sunny, it was very busy.
Well, you know, our Haunted Asheville ghost tours are doing great because we knew it was going to be a rainy season, and so we have indoor stuff to do as well. We have indoor ghost hunts at the Asheville Masonic Temple that we do when it rains. We've got the trolley tour, all that kind of stuff. So let me remind everybody, if you're listening and you're online, go to speakingofstrange.com. There's a live chat during the show, and you'll also find a link there to our Haunted Asheville ghost tours. And a lot of people are available now because it's summertime, and you know, don't let the rain hold back all your plans. Obviously, you know, going back to our favorite state here, it wasn't raining there on the 4th of July, because I'm getting a lot of strange 4th of July stories now that are making their way through the system. And this one has come to us from the town of Naples, Florida. Naples, Florida, that's right. This is a really disturbing story, actually. So in this little community in Naples, Florida, there were a group of various neighbors, families, kids outside, sort of in the street, playing with some sparklers and, you know, obviously shooting off some fireworks. And in the middle of this, in the middle of their fun, this mean, grouchy old 72-year-old man comes running out of his house screaming, "Party's over!" And he's holding a big can of gas.
Old curmudgeon.
Yeah, that crotchety old man with the gas can. And starts pouring gasoline all over the place while these kids are standing there with lit fireworks and lit sparklers and stuff, okay? So he's pouring gasoline. The parents are flipping out. They're screaming, you know, telling the kids to run, get away. And it says here that the guy had a wheelchair-bound neighbor who tried to stop him. Well, that didn't go very well because the crotchety old man grabbed the wheelchair and, of course, flipped the guy over, sending the disabled man to the ground, suffering several cuts, scratches, and a road rash to his knees and elbows, and then started pouring gasoline all over him.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine how horrible it would be to watch this happening? And it'd be hard to run over and attack the old man because he could become one of those human spontaneous combustion cases at any moment, right?
Right.
This is a horrible situation. So, but neighbors were able to intervene somehow and get the guy away and get the disabled man away. They called 911. Cops got there quickly. The guy was arrested. He's facing all kinds of charges, including abuse on an elderly or disabled adult. Neighbors told the deputies that this guy has been unstable for a long time and quote, has a history of acting strange, end quote. They also say he smelled strongly of alcohol during his arrest. That is not a guy you want as a neighbor. And then another story, and you know, I had plenty of them, but I just picked a couple out here about the 4th. Here's another story about a 4th of July incident. This is from the town of Shelby, Michigan. A guy in his mid-40s is a 26-year military veteran. Apparently, this guy has been in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, and he decided to have a little too much fun on the 4th. He decided to go rolling through his neighborhood in a World War II tank with the 50 caliber machine gun mounted there, firing blanks.
Oh, that just wasn't smart.
People didn't know what was happening. They see a tank rolling down the street, blasting everywhere. One of the police officers said, quote, "You can imagine what they were thinking," end quote. The man was driving at high speed and firing this gun everywhere, chasing people in a park, over curbs, and in the parking areas on the all-out assault. Nobody knew what was going on. So finally, this guy, I guess the police surrounded this tank And this is like some kind of a scene from maybe a Rambo movie. Can you imagine this on the 4th of July, all of these cop cars around a tank? So they get the guy out and say, what are you doing? They claim that he was tested for alcohol. And while they found traces in his system, he was far below the legal limit for intoxication, and that this was just an act of stupidity. Huh. So how about that? So you know, lots of weird incidents have happened this past 4th of July, but I guess it shouldn't be that surprising. Okay, we're coming up on another break. And when we return, I do want to catch up on some of the news that I have not been able to get around to recently. And one of them regards the ghost of Michael Jackson. Apparently, his ghost is playing a bona fide role in the legal proceedings that have happened recently. I'm not kidding. I'll explain when we return. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Joshua P. Warren. And don't forget, we are accepting vendors right now for Puppy Fest. It's going to take place on September the 28th at the U.S. Cellular Center in Asheville, sponsored by the Asheville Humane Society and Animal Compassion Network, as well as Brother Wolf. We're going to be adopting pets. We're going to be raising money for charities. And it's going to be kind of like a puppy talent contest. And we have all kinds of surprises in store. It's going to be a huge event produced by myself and J.R. Yarnell of the Asheville Tattoo Fest. Go to puppyfest.com. If you want to be a vendor, sign up right now. $125 gets you a really nice booth and a lot of good advertisement. So you need to go ahead and sign up ASAP, though. puppyfest.com. So, you know, I mentioned before the break here that there's been some weird news that I've been so busy I haven't had a chance to get around to. And one of them comes from the latest developments in the Michael Jackson trial that was happening recently. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not keeping up with all this, okay? So I don't know exactly what's happening with the Michael Jackson trial. All I know is I see this story from the Daily Mail. And it says here that quite a twist came in the trial when Randy Phillips, who is the CEO of AEG Live, claimed that Michael Jackson had insisted from beyond the grave that his death was an accident, thus clearing Dr. Conrad Murray, who has been jailed for, of course, delivering a fatal overdose. Now, here is how this supposedly went down. Mr. Phillips claimed that this supernatural encounter was delivered via his friend, Brenda Ritchie, the ex-wife of musician Lionel Ritchie. Now, amazingly enough, the judge in the case has allowed this testimony to stand. And a lawyer there objected, of course, for the Jackson family. But the judge says, you know, okay, fine, let's hear what happened. Supposedly, Jackson's close friend, Brenda Ritchie, went to a medium, okay? And the medium supposedly talked to her and said it was Michael Jackson coming through and that Conrad Murray should be exonerated because that this truly was an accident. And now, of course, it's odd enough that something like this would happen. It's mind-boggling that this would make it into the official court records that the spirit of Michael Jackson has come back and is communicating from the grave. I mean, this has got to end up in a movie somewhere, somehow, someday. I mean, had you heard this before, Forrest Shelley?
No.
Not about Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre, huh?
It is, but it's not the first court case where somebody said a ghost came back and basically that was entered into the court record. A ghost came back to say somebody killed them or, you know, something.
When else did that?
Oh.
When did that happen?
Long, long, long time ago.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, nothing yet.
Oh, sure then, Shelley, whatever you say.
You can look it up.
It was actually entered in the court records? It was withheld?
The husband was taken into custody, stuck in jail, hanged, something like that.
You're just totally making this up, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I have much knowledge. I just can't quite access exactly when I read it.
Yeah, I'm What was that for?
The Florida Mail. Strange stuff.
It must have happened in Florida, Shelley. Okay, well, you know, I'm sure that probably that sort of thing has happened in the courts before. Okay, here's a story. You know, obviously, because I'm in Puerto Rico right now, and I'm broadcasting from the Bermuda Triangle, and next hour of the show, I'm going to be sharing with you some wild experiences that I have had here recently, including a sighting that I had at the UFO Lagoon. I hate to sort of overdo this Puerto Rico thing and beat it into the ground, and yet I can't deny the fact that here this story was reported by ABC News, and the headline is, Puerto Rico town mystified by missing remains like they came alive and walked away. It says here the remains of at least 40 people are missing from a cemetery in the sleepy mountain town of Garabo, where officials are trying to solve a mystery that has frightened neighbors and left families distraught. The apparent thefts occurred at the town's oldest cemetery, which was built in 1912 and features rows of white mausoleums located on the outskirts of Garabo. The public works director there says, quote, I've spent 9 years with the municipality. I've never, ever, ever had something like this, end quote. No one has been able to explain the disappearances, although many residents believe the bones are being stolen for Santeria rituals practiced by those who follow the Caribbean-based religion that blends Roman Catholicism and the African Yoruba faith. Since then, the government has asked the owners of the cemetery's more than 300 mausoleums to verify if their loved ones are still buried there. They say one woman here, a 70-year-old homemaker, said the bodies of two of her nephews are missing. Says, we kept looking and noticed there were a bunch of other open tombs. It's just creepy. Obviously, there are lots of reports being filed with the cops here, and a Santeria priest there denied that anybody associated with the faith were to blame. And she said the faith employs animals, but not human bodies. And she said the disappearance could be related to Polaria, another faith that uses human bones in its rites. Everybody's devastated, but still, we're talking about 40 people here, guys. 40 bodies disappearing from a cemetery.
It's crazy. I mean, how far is this town from you?
Okay, it's close to San Juan.
Okay, so from the east coast.
Yeah, it's sort of in the northeastern part of the island, and I'm in the southwestern part. So it's
pretty much as far away from you as you can get.
Pretty much, yeah. So this would be, with traffic, it takes about 3 hours to drive across this island. Now, I'm going to be back in the San Juan area here in a couple of weeks. And you know, I read this story, and I was certainly tempted to just jump in a car and go there, but I'm not sure what to do with this story. I mean, yeah, you know, I investigate paranormal stuff, but this is a very, very sensitive subject. You know, when you're talking about 40 people being stolen from a cemetery and their loved ones are upset, I'm not sure how I would be received. I might be received as being very insensitive if I went there at this point.
I know down there a lot of people like once you're dead, there's a bunch of lines you don't cross or you don't talk about, like that kind of stuff with a lot of people down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn over this one. I mean, I know that all of you listening would love for me to go there and bring back some personal report, but gosh, you know, there are ethical and moral boundaries, and this one's got me stumped. I, you know, this doesn't happen very often, but I'm stumped by this one, whether or not I should get involved.
I would say, just for now, stay out of it unless something else develops.
Yeah, I mean, all I could do is go there and talk to a bunch of sad people, and there's a criminal case, and gosh, how do you feel about this, Shelley?
It's crazy. It doesn't sound like it's anything that you... you wouldn't want to do this alone. If you were going to pursue this, you wouldn't want to go by yourself. Have a buddy or two, because you don't want to disappear.
Well, you could go there strictly under the guise of being a reporter, from a reporter's perspective, saying that you're doing a story on this and hope to get the word out so these people might can be found.
Exactly. Don't tell them who you really are.
Yeah, okay. For some reason, this reminds me of The Serpent and the Rainbow. Do you remember that movie,
yes,
Forrest?
Yes, I do.
And it was based, you know, of course, the guy wrote a book first. I can't remember his name right now. But have you ever seen that movie, Shelley?
Long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, the guy goes down to Haiti and starts messing around with voodoo. And the next thing you know, they take him. And he gets into trouble. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a story for you about, a sticky situation from New Zealand. And I know when I say sticky, you could cringe a little bit, but don't worry, it's not the dark 30 hour quite yet. And then there are a couple more stories from there's like quite a few stories from Florida. We'll see if I can get to some more of those. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Same as my daddy, as bad as before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. You only come a town about 12. We'll be right back.
minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Next hour of the show, we're going to talk about, some of my updates on my adventures here at hunting UFOs. I have a little news I'm going to share with you. Some new stuff I've discovered and a pretty crazy experience that I had at the UFO Lagoon, Laguna Cartagena. And then also, we have an update for you that might just relate to the Beast of Bladenboro story that we read on the show last week about something that's killing creatures again here in North Carolina. It's always very spooky when that sort of thing starts happening. And it looks like, there may be a good follow-up to that and some photographic evidence, which I'll be sharing with you. I am in the process of uploading a lot of cool photographs to joshuapwarren.com. So always go there and check it out. I think I'm going to have a whole brand new section of crazy ghost photos and things along those lines posted soon. So be sure to visit joshuapwarren.com from time to time and just see what stuff I've posted there. Here's a story from New Zealand. 911 received a call, and a 64-year-old woman was grunting on the other side. They were very, very worried. They didn't know what could be the cause of the muffled speech, if it was a medical event or if somebody had gagged her. And she was grunting the whole time while the staff called the police. The police arrived at her home and found that she had accidentally super glued her lips together. They said that she got up in the middle of the night in the dark and grabbed what she thought was a tube of medication. Nope, it was super glue. It says here, quote, "It was an extremely frightening event for her because her breathing was impeded. You definitely wouldn't want to have a blocked nose." The woman was taken to the hospital and has since been released. I've heard that Art Bell even once did this. So anybody can make that mistake. Did you know that, Forrest?
No.
Yeah, I think it was, he might have even been on the air. I'm going to have
I know, speaking of Art Bell, getting off on a tangent, we only have a couple minutes left here. I know that he walked out, he was building a, someone was building a deck on his back porch one time, and he was used to walking around while doing a show, and right in the middle of the show, he walked off the back porch thinking the deck was there, and there was nothing there, and he fell 8 feet.
Ooh.
Right in the middle of a show.
Oh, man. Art, he's got war wounds from doing Coast to Coast AM all those years. Okay, I'm going to read one last story here before we go, and I'm sorry to leave you guys with this hour. It's a terrible story, but I don't know. It's just I've seen it a couple weeks now, and I'm just going to toss it out here. It's from Tampa, Florida. A Florida man has been jailed for allegedly strangling his mother's puppy, cutting it into pieces, and cooking it in a pot on the stove. The guy's 25 years old. He killed this puppy named Bandit. Quote, "cut the dog into quarters and stored it in the freezer for future meals," end quote. Police came to his home, and they actually found the dog's ribs cooked in a pot on the stove. They found its head in the garbage. He had consumed part of the animal. Obviously, they ask him, "why did you do this? How did this go down?" He said that he choked the dog because it started to become aggressive with him. And then he went about his day and then decided to dismember the dog and eat it. He said he knew that it was wrong, but that he had learned how to clean animals in the past. He'd eaten squirrels and rabbits, and he was just curious about what it would be like to eat a puppy. So, you wouldn't expect to hear that coming from the co-producer of Puppy Fest.
That's just mean. That's just...
Yeah. That's just one of those, what do you say? It's a despicable story.
but it's from the Smoking Gun, and you know, it's just absolutely bizarre why that anybody would consider not only killing it, but then deciding to keep it and eat it.
Actually, I saw a news story on that on my Roku device. You know, you can get different news channels from different places. Actually, yeah. I saw the story out of Tampa and interviews with the neighbors who knew the guy and knew the dog.
Well, by all accounts, when you do stuff like that, you are definitely well on your way to becoming a serial killer. So glad he has been put behind bars for the time being. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you about some of my recent adventures here. I'm sharing new discoveries with you, breaking material before they shut me down. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.